Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Writer's Lounge, show number 31, September 17th, 2012. I am your host, Tom Rydell, and in the wings, waiting to approach the microphone, is the lovely and talented and wise Robin Eduardo, and she'll be there, and I'll reintroduce her that way, hopefully. And to briefly introduce today's show, we will be talking to Max E. Stone, and she will be on to talk about her book called August to Life. And a little bit about the show and where you can find us. You can find us over at the blog at tomrydell.com/blog. And you can read all the reviews of all the books I've done over the last 31 shows. And in the upper left-hand corner of that site, you can click on the Blog Talk Radio player and listen to each one of those reviews and the current author, which would be Max E. Stone. After the program today, I think it takes about 20 minutes to upload, so give it some time, but that's where you will find the show. Of course, we have Facebook, and you can go over there at Facebook. You can find us on the Blog Talk Radio site by clicking the link to the Facebook page. Go over there and like us. And also, we are on Twitter. I have been tweeting more than normal lately, so you can find tweets over there with our followers, and I hope that you will follow us over on Twitter. You can also, of course, do it the old-fashioned way, which would be the email way, and that's twl11@yahoo.com. And our upcoming author, next show, which would be October 1st, we're going to have on an author from my neck of the woods here in Minnesota, Hastings, Minnesota, to be exact. Her name is Annie Wilder, and she'll be on to talk about her book called Trucker Ghost Story. Sorry about that, Annie, if you happen to be listening. And I guess it doesn't really need any more explanation, except that it'll be ghost stories from the road. And it'll be very exciting as we head into the Halloween season. And we do have a lot of treats for you that month in October, so stay tuned for that. Also, I would like to plug Magic Pen Web Design. It offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to web design development. Magic Pen Web Design promises that your website will be simple in content and easy to navigate, while also delivering an effective eye-popping design that will attract an interest to the books you write, along with the other products or services that you offer. Magic Pen Web Design promises to work with you and to explore an option package that will be the most affordable to you. Now fill out the free estimate form over at magicpenwebdesign.com. And let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a web design that works its magic for you. I'll call our instructions for today, which is usually after the author comes on, after we get into the conversation, a little bit of a chat, a couple of the questions that we would be posing. And you can give us a call at 626-213-5613 or toll free at 877-878-1436. And now, as I said, I'm going to welcome on to the show, the 31st show that we've done, my wonderful and talented and wise Robin Eduardo. See, I threw in another adjective there, Robin. I hope you appreciated that.
I do. Thank you. I don't know how wise I am, but I try. sometimes.
Well, you know, as most of my friends know, I've been going through a very difficult time here in the last couple of weeks without getting into a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And it's been very difficult, and it's very good that I have friends like you by my side who have been helping me through these very difficult times and allowing me to continue with the show here at the Writer's Lounge. And it really means an awful lot to me with all the messages and emails that I've gotten over the course of the last couple of weeks. The last time we were on was over in Wisconsin, over at River Falls, over at the coffee shop over there. And Rochelle Haruska is the owner of that coffee shop, and she wrote a book. And I hope that she is doing well with her sales. And I am told, in fact, I just got a message from her that she is listening to the show tonight. And we had a wonderful time over there, Rob, and we had a bunch of people from River Falls interview with me on the show. We played music, which, by the way, the tunes didn't really sound that well because of the upload and the file format that I used. And Blog Talk mm-hmm. Radio isn't really a music station, but mm-hmm. we really had a good time. And we were waiting for you to call, of course, but
I guess we were busy,
so that's okay.
Yeah. I was in Sedona, and I just had a hard time. I there was just so much I was trying to cram into that weekend that I just couldn't break away and get a chance to call. But hi, Michelle. I know you're out there somewhere. And
yeah, Rochelle's out there listening, so she's still hoping to reach her goal, and she's got a lot of support and a lot of love.
I wish her a lot of luck with saving the coffee house and I do wish you the best in your personal tragedy, and I'm glad that I could be of some help and be a good friend to you, and also I know that you do have a lot of good friends and family, and that you do have loved ones and people that care about you and reach out to you in your time of need. And we all love you, and we're here for you, so.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I've gained some wonderful friendships over the course
we
of the last year on this program, the writers that have been involved in my life, not only as a professional as far as being on the show and trying to promote their books, but one other friend I'd like to mention who's been always connected to the program here is Brian Anderson, who, by the way, has been keeping in touch with me and offering me his wisdom and advice in what I'm going through here. But also, I have to say that Brian is taking off with his book, The Godling Chronicles, is doing exceptionally well, and we're so excited to have been a part of that. And I know Brian is working very hard on promoting that book and getting it out there, but it's now in India, apparently selling it. He called me up the other night, and he said, Tom, he says, like, you won't believe this. He says, my book is selling in India at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've already sold over 200 copies. So while he's sleeping, this thing is taking off. And also, I need to also promote the publisher that Brian is with, and that's Great Minds Think Aloud. And they are promoting him and doing a wonderful job. And Magic Pen Web Design is also working with them to create a spectacular site. And we're hoping that that's going to help them also. So we're all doing our part to get his book out there. And we're so excited for him. So, Brian, if you're listening, and I know you do listen, whether it's on archives or live, congratulations to you. And Robin and I both send their best wishes to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting, Robin, when we have somebody on that's struggling with selling and finally uses everything and all the tools that are out there in the social media world to promote themselves, and then they run into a good publisher. Her name is Kitty Bullard, is her name over at GTMA. And she's spectacular, and I think she's doing a lot of good over there, and we want to also thank her for everything that she's doing.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like we're like a family here, you know?
Yeah.
So,
we really
yeah.
are. And it's like our babies, you know? We send the baby
yeah.
off into the world, and that's the book. And that book
yeah.
ends up taking off like crazy. And,
mm-hmm.
and so we can kind of pound our chest a little bit and say, look, we were a part of that. And
yeah.
Ryan was on, I think, back.
We celebrate each other's little, you know, achievements.
Exactly. And he
and
was on back,
on.
I think, November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he
yes.
will be on with his book two of that series in November of this year. So
mm-hmm.
stay tuned for that. And also Robert Nikpon, a very good friend of mine also who has written Gazpacho, will be on in November also. And he is also with GMTA. So some really good news for a lot of our authors out there that are connected to the Writer's Lounge. And also what I want to talk about, and I mentioned a little bit off the air with Robin, a little bit of an update on the book Mysterious Minnesota was written by Adrian Lee. I had gotten a nasty email, believe it or not, from the publishers over at Llewellyn Press regarding my negative reviews on that book. And I want to state once again that everything that I reviewed, because I'm very careful of this, when you go online and you post things, you want to make sure that what you're posting is true and not false. Everything that I did write and review was absolutely true. But anyway, they wrote me an email telling me to cease and desist and to actually take down my reviews. I told them, no, it's not going to happen. Under the Constitution of the United States, I have a right under free speech to review.
Yeah.
And if I happen to give a book 2 stars, I mean, can you imagine how many people have gotten bad reviews if they went after the reviewer and threatened
yeah.
up the lawsuit?
Yeah.
So anyway, make a long story short, my lawyer has been involved in this, and I think it was more of an intimidation factor on the part of Llewellyn to try to get me to take it down because the reviews have been getting a lot of hits, and apparently it's doing its work because the author apparently, from what I understand, and I don't know for sure, but from what I understand, he's scrambling to, you know, sell that book and amongst all the bad reviews that it's getting here in Minnesota. So anyways, the moral of the story here, folks, is that, you know, if you feel that somebody has done you wrong as far as plagiarized you or whatnot, if they're selling a book that is untruthful and it impacts your life, which it has impacted mine, then once again, stand up for your rights and remember that you do have a right to speak your mind. This is free.
Oh, yeah.
This is free speech, and it's incredible. I think I might even frame that email that was sent to me and keep it here because it is something I think that really means a lot more than just someone coming after me. It goes right to the heart of free speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're lucky you weren't there recently. There was an agent that was physically assaulted by a writer who received a rejection, and he stalked her and approached her while she was in her car. And if it wasn't for her dog biting his arm, he actually reached in and grabbed her from behind, I guess from behind her neck, and was smashing her face into the steering wheel.
Oh,
and
no.
Her dog, yeah, and her dog bit him, and he ran off, and the police, I guess, went through her emails and kind of sort of, you know, traced it, you know, figured out who it could possibly be and narrowed it down to a possibility of one person. And when they, you know, approached him, he had a bite, and then they figured it out that it was her dog that had bit him. And yeah, so, I mean, I just, authors behaving badly. It happens all the time. I've been threatened, literally, I've been threatened to have gasoline poured on me and set on fire. I mean,
<My goodness.
laughs> yeah, it's crazy. Of course, I mean, my stalker and the guy that threatens me is just, he's a sociopath anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, he's never going to do it because he lives in his grandmother's basement, and he never leaves his grandmother's basement.
Yeah.
It's just, I laugh about it, you know, because it's just silly. But there are people who are scary. I mean, my personal, the guy that has said that I've made my threats, he's made threats to other authors also, and we all know that they're just verbal threats, but there's people that have actually, you know, carried their threats out, so you never know. And
right.
There's just
you kind of look at what's going on in the world right now with all this you know, violence regarding a video, some stupid
video
in the Middle East, somebody made. You know, there's that kind of thing where, you know, sometimes you have to look at something and realize it's pretty stupid to be, you know, getting up in arms over, literally up in arms over, and realize that it is really kind of idiotic when you look at a stupid video that's been put together that you would want to have to do everything that obviously is not good. I mean, it's when you're going against people and committing violence, that's not good. This is probably a first, and I'm not sure what's going on. Oh, just as I spoke, the phone number came up. It looks like our guest author is on the line, so I'm going to get together. And I will get together and bring her on shortly as we review August to Life. Was written by Maxie Stone and published by Amazon Digital Services Incorporated in 2012. You may purchase it over at Amazon.com Kindle, and you can visit the author on Facebook. A short little blurb that Amazon has on the book. It's around and around they go. Where the blood stops, who knows? And what I wrote, Jonathan and Leanne are two high school classmates who have had their differences. Jonathan is white and Leanne is black. After Jonathan bumps into Leanne in the hallway, sending her books to the ground, he calls her a black bitch, and the relationship heads off on a very rough and contentious path. The bigotry consumes not only Jonathan, but his father as well, and the two families of both Jonathan and Leanne become embroiled in a racially charged feud that threatens to become worse. All of the dynamics of the story begin to change when Leanne finds Jonathan badly hurt and near death from a car accident. She is largely responsible for saving Jonathan's life, but the suspicion of bigotry still hovers over Jonathan, even as he tries to extricate himself from the racial hatred that he learned from his father. The relationship between Jonathan, Leanne, and their families is absorbing and develops dramatically throughout the story, and the future between the teens is tested once again by a traumatic, violent event that threatens to rip them apart forever. The narrative started off a bit slow, and the introduction of the characters was a tad confusing, but the pace in the story soon picked up once the plot became clearer, and before long, I was fully engaged and really liking the story. The dramatics were powerful and well used in several scenes, and even managed to pick up in its intensity all the way to the exciting and climactic end. If not for a slightly sluggish beginning, this book would have easily hit 5 stars. However, this author deserves much credit for crafting a story that will give you pause to consider where we are right now as a society in our thoughts over race, love, and relationships between two people. Be ready for it. This story will stimulate your tear ducts. And I gave that book 4 stars, of course. And I would like to welcome to the Writer's Lounge Maxie Stone. We'll click the button on the mic. And there she is, magically appearing on the show here. Hello, Max.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Hey.
Doing pretty
Hi.
Good. Got Robin here.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Doing really good. So, where are you calling from, Max?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh,
and I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, you are? Oh,
yes,
awesome.
I am.
Another neighbor. Another neighbor, Robin.
Oh, wow. Where in New Jersey are you from?
Merchantville.
Oh, I'm actually in Morgan near South Amboy.
Oh, wow. That's not too bad.
Max, are you on a cell phone?
No.
Okay, because you're breaking up a little bit. Are you hearing that, Robin?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm hearing
getting
you.
Like some. Ooh.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay.
Okay. So, Max, I have to apologize. I had originally reviewed your book, and I posted up on the Blog Talk Radio site that you were a he, and obviously you were not.
That's all right. That is totally all right. It's exactly what I wanted.
That's pretty cool, though. Max E. Stone. So it's more of a Max E. Stone, right?
It is.
Yeah. Max, can you do you mind us calling you Max, or do you go by Maxie?
Max is good.
Okay. Max, could you read an excerpt from your book?
Sure. All right. I'm going to start from where Jonathan and Leanne first meet. All right. "What's your problem, idiot?" Leanne shouted from the ground of the high school's hallway in the middle of the large pile of books and papers the following day. The school bell signaling the start of class had rung some time ago. So classroom doors were closed, and almost all of the teachers and students were out of the hall, except for two students. Leanne was one of them. The other was a 6-foot young man with dark brown hair and green eyes. "No problem," a snide masculine voice came in return. "It was an accident." His tone was a reflection of anything but regretful. Jonathan Warren snickered, walking away after intentionally crashing into Leanne, the reason she and her books were on the floor at the moment. Slowly but surely, she stood, brushing the dust from her jeans and shirt, shooting a menacing glance toward her teenage assailant. "Sorry," Jonathan laughed mischievously. "I told you it was an accident." By now, he was just a few feet away from her. Then pick up my stuff," Leanne said back, beginning to lose her patience. "Yeah, right," Jonathan responded through another laugh while walking toward her. In almost an instant, he was standing right behind her, formed his mouth, and aimed a large wad of saliva at her feet. It landed appropriately, and Leanne glared at him, flaring her nostrils. She had never been in a fight before, but Jonathan was tempting her toward her first time. Jonathan's green eyes showed a glimmer of hellish red, and he smiled, a slick smile. "Black bitch," he murmured, starting to walk away again. Leanne's blood boiled. Before she knew it, her feet were moving toward Jonathan's turned back. Her pace quickened with each step, 3 more before she grabbed hold of his shirt and pounced, knocking him to the floor face first. The rest was all a haze of rage, blood, and tears.
Wow. And it goes right to the heart of what your story is about. Yeah. Max, how long have you been writing, and what motivates you to write this story?
I've been writing since I was about 9 years old. This story, I'm really not sure. It just came. It really just started coming, and it started off as something completely different. And then the more I read other books and the more I did my research, then that's when it just started. It just went a totally new direction. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think, Robin?
I was just wondering if there was something that inspired, like something that happened in real life that inspired you to write this.
I did take little pieces of me, but not as much. Sometimes I just like have conversations with my friends. And we talk about certain things. I have a very diverse group of friends, so we talk about everything, and then sometimes the story will just come from that. It just comes out little by little, and then I put a little of myself in it, and then when I'm finished the story, I'm like, wow, really? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because of the subject matter, it's racially charged, and that also brings in an interest, because I can't recall – I know there's books, probably several books have been written about the subject, but the specifics between two teenagers that are dealing with, obviously in those early years, you're dealing with all kinds of stuff, and then to have to actually deal with the racial part of it must be very difficult. And I know that it's a difficult subject even in today's world to even talk about to people that are involved in that kind of a thing, because you still have racism out there. It may be veiled, but it is still there. So it was a very interesting way that you crafted your story to bring that subject to the forefront, and that grabbed my attention immediately.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was very good. Yeah. The other thing that I was wondering about, Max, is the title August to Life is an interesting title. What's the meaning behind it?
It actually started with just August, because that's when the family actually moves to New England. And then from that time on, everything just completely changes, whether it's their life or those around them. Every life that they're connected to changes. So that's where the two life came from.
Oh, excuse me. I've been having a cough, so I might...
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the weather changing.
That's probably what it is. It's getting crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was gonna comment earlier when we were talking about when I asked you where your motivation came from with the story, because generally, you draw from life experience and people. Well, the advice is usually, you know, write what you know, and especially, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you're from New Jersey, and even though this state is very diverse, there's still a little bit of some racial tension. Kids will still be kids are generally more open-minded, but there's still a little bit
the little things.
Yeah, there's still a little division. I think more so amongst the parents, there's still that little residual division, and then that trickles down, you know, amongst the kids, and you know, I think that's you know, unfortunate, and it's weird because I come from my husband is black, and I'm also mixed, and then my daughter's obviously she's mixed. And then my husband, this gets confusing because now my husband's Dominican, so that's naturally they're, you know, mixed.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's funny.
Well, we really are a melting pot when you really look at it. And I think as we move along in time here, and get more further and further away from those traumatic times in the 1960s and before.
I'm
hoping that at some point people will see people as just people instead of
people.
Race.
I think eventually.
I think we're moving in that direction, but it's still going to be slow pace at times. When you get two characters like Max wrote about, you are going to have tensions within the families when they see things sort of differently than the other people.
That's actually. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking because it's so important for people to be proud of their race. I mean, I'm not like people. It's so difficult because there's a fine line to walk, because then people will say, you know, well, you're racist if you're proud of your race, you know, but there's nothing wrong with being proud of your race, but Oh, it's just so hard. It's just so hard today. You know, you want to be proud of it, but you also want to embrace other races. So mm-hmm. it's so difficult in this day and age because there is a lot of mixing. Our president is mixed, so mm-hmm. you know, it's just
right.
We should be accepting. There shouldn't be this tension like we're experiencing today. I mean, you know, I don't really want to get into a political discussion. You know, I don't want to, you know, go off on this tangent. I want to discuss your book. But, I mean, we really should be an open-minded country because
That's right.
we do have a mixed-race president. So,
sure,
we do.
In this day and age. So it's funny, you know, that we're discussing your book and your book is about racial tension, you know, yep. involving two youths.
And
so,
She really, like I said before, she really was able to grab that subject
right,
and to really turn it and make it into a very interesting story between two
right.
teenagers.
Right.
Max, can you, speaking of those two teenagers, can you tell us about the process of getting to know your characters? How did you develop them?
Well, I've made quite a bit of notes trying to do that. I had a pretty good idea of what and who I wanted when I first started this story in high school. However, my characters kind of changed as I went along in research and writing and then talking to different people. And so I guess my process in developing the characters soon became the creating and adding on different aspects of them as I wrote. So it kind of just changed. Everything as the years went by and as the research and the notes were made, everything just completely changed. And during the time that I had written it, like, for instance, the location in New England, I initially set it in North Carolina. And then because most people look at that as the South as like this like huge racist place
right.
where it will with the racial history. But
yeah.
they don't realize it's up north, too. It's just a little quieter, you know.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. I may have missed it earlier. Did you say when you started? You started writing the story in high school?
In high school, mm-hmm.
And do you mind telling us around what age you are now?
I'm 25.
Okay, so it's been over a course of probably the last 10 years that you've been involved with this book, correct?
Really, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Pretty good. So that what we usually ask on the Writer's Lounge a lot of times when we have authors on, we were really interested in the character development, of course, but we also like to know, did your characters control where they wanted to go in your story, or did you, as a writer, have more control over them?
Oh, my characters absolutely control where they wanted me to go. Absolutely.
Now I have to ask you, Max, which one was more dominant?
The one that was more dominant, I have to say, was... that's a hard one.
Between Jonathan and Leanne, which one?
I think it was more Jonathan.
Okay.
Was the one that really controlled where I wanted to go. I had control over the situations in the book, but not their reactions, like the profanity. I won't necessarily drop the F word. They might. So
right.
I have to write it because it's not
right.
me. You know?
Very good. Very good. I wanted to hear that.
Yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, they would. So let's write it.
And I think, too, and not to go off too much on a tangent here, and nothing against Christian books, there was a Left Behind series that was written several years ago that everybody mm-hmm. fell in love with, myself included. I did like the storyline. The only thing that I saw in those books that didn't quite fit was that nobody swore, and here we are with the
yeah.
whole earth in tribulation and,
mm-hmm.
and everything that was happening. So I found it a little off-putting.
Yeah.
And I'm not big on using the F word and the F bomb, as they say, but sometimes it fits reality, and I think you need to do
yeah.
that when you're an author.
It does, right.
Yeah. Why New England? Did you go to school in New England?
No, I went on vacation with my parents and my brothers, and I just fell in love with the place. So I said, I'm going to set a book here. So I did.
Okay, I was just wondering. I thought that maybe that's what inspired you to choose that setting as opposed to maybe the South or out West or whatever.
Yeah, initially I did do the South, but I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. People too many times see that as this
place where
there's so much racial hatred and everything. And
and
I'm like, it's everywhere. That even in the prettiest place, there's still something there that's not quite right.
Right. And the South would really be kind of a cliched choice.
Right.
And so, you know, and New England is actually, like, that's the opposite. Who would think, you know, the North? Because, you know, generally people think, well, the North fought to free the slaves, so.
Yeah, so they got to be, you know.
They must be, you know. Didn't the Quakers want it? They helped during the Underground Railroad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they must love. And no, that's so not true.
It's not. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's in every ethnicity.
Right.
Is there's some type of, I guess, some kind of discrimination going on. Every race, every ethnicity has that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max, the other part of your story that I absolutely loved, apart from the obvious conflict between your two characters, which really set the tone for a great story, was how you ramped up the action scenes. And I really, really liked that near the end. I was like holding on to the armchair here myself. So I was wondering what was going to happen. You wrote that very well.
Thank you.
The action scenes were very well written.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'd like to ask you, when you sit down to write, where do you go, and are there any sort of rituals that you do to get you in the mood?
I definitely need music. I'll go and sit anywhere. Sometimes I'll sit outside on a bench or on a beach. Other times I'm just in my bedroom on the bed with a laptop. No matter where I am, I have to have the music, because to me that's like a soundtrack. It's like watching a film, and you can see where everything is going just by the music that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to turn on my music and just start writing, and then when I take the headphones off, I'm like, whoa, I wrote like 50 pages. Awesome.
Wow. A lot of my friends say that. But I can't do it. That's so distracting to me. But a lot of my friends say that. They say that it gets them in the mood, and that for certain scenes that, maybe that's what I need.
Well, any kind of
it
a creative
does. It works.
Process.
You should try it. It actually works.
It absolutely does work. In the creative process, for instance, today I was sitting down at the Magic Pen office and doing my website designs, and to get into the mood of that, to be creative, obviously, a different form of creativity, but I did turn on my music, and I do listen to the music while I'm working on the websites and designing them. So I can understand it, and I also do it also when I write my novel, which I haven't touched in several months, which I have to get going at, but you guys inspire me, and I know Robin's in the same boat as I am with that, so here we are interviewing authors that have done the work and got the book out, yet Robin and I are still sitting on our pine nest.
Oh, my Easter.
Yeah. So,
and you know what? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
Matt.
Go ahead.
You know what else is good is like laughing. I guess watching something funny. I heard this doctor say one time that when you laugh, when you belly laugh, it opens up your creativity, and that also worked for me. Just watching like a comedy video or something, and laughing like crazy, and then I can like fill a whole page in 5 minutes. So that sometimes helps too.
It does.
Oh, I don't know. I'm always laughing, but and I get nothing done.
I get nothing done. Yeah. It's great laughing. That's good.
It is good. It's very good, especially with what I've been going through. It's good to have humor in your life. Anyways, yeah. Anybody out there, I would like, you know, not just me and Robin to be asking the questions, but if you have a question for Max, you can give us a call at 626-213-5613 or toll free at 877-878-1436. I like how I do that kind of roll up, make it interesting, because when you're reading numbers, they sound kind of boring if you just say 213-5613. So I had that little roll in there. More creativity there. So anyway, Max, speaking of getting published, can you give our listeners any advice about the publishing process and share with us any challenges that you had in publishing August to Life?
Well, first of all, I would say do not give up by any means at all. Because somebody always wants to hear what you have to say. You just have to find them. I've been rejected by God knows how many literary agents, but very rarely. Sometimes when you get rejected by a lot of literary agents, you have to pay attention to how they reject you. Like, I never got rejected with a form letter. They would give me little things to kind of spice it up. So I would take that advice, and it would turn into a great story.
Well, give me an example. Give me an example of that with August to Life. Did you get any advice that sparked your story a little more? Like, can you give us a for instance?
Well, one lady, when I initially submitted it, I think about a year, because I finished it once. But I think when I was in 12th grade, and this agent tells me, you know, you have a very strong premise, but you write too sweet. You know, you write like the situations are heavy, but you're writing like all wonderful and happy and rainbows and roses and everything. And I'm like, how is it sweet? She's like, nobody's cursing. She's like, somebody's got to curse.
And as you just talked about,
I'm like, I don't feel comfortable writing that. What's my mother and father going to say? You know, but but ultimately it turned into a good story. It did.
Yeah, so, and that's where your characters actually took over and told you what they were going to say, right?
Right. They're like, I want to say this, and we're not going to be nice about it. I'm going to say this. You know, I'm like, okay, sure, why not? So I just wrote.
Once again, getting back to the key tagline here in your book where Jonathan calls the female, calls Leanne a black bitch, I think it really adds to the flavor of the book and the emotions that are involved there, wanting us, the reader, to read further to find out what happens.
Right.
And that's very important, I think. So it was good that you took that advice, and that's good. But as far as publishing now, like you were published through the Amazon site, am I correct? Amazon Digital. It wasn't very much of a challenge for you in that regard, was it?
No, it wasn't. And that's another piece of advice I would say, too, because from what I'm reading, I would say be open to other methods of publishing. Like, I'm published on Smashwords and on Amazon, and sometimes publishing companies will take you on, or agents will take you on, if you have a following, you have fans from your ebook. Always take the opportunity to kind of show a little bit of what you can do, and somebody will always pay attention.
That's correct. Robin?
Yeah, absolutely. I have mentioned this before, that I have a few friends that have self-published and then were later on picked up because they developed a fan base and their sales were such that they were later on picked up for under like a small press.
Right.
And then because the small press sales were such that they went on and were picked up by Simon & Schuster. So, you know, everyone's path is different.
It's a little
but
different.
One thing may lead to another, and I mean, you just never know. I mean, Amanda Hocking self-published, and then she got a two million dollar contract with who was it? I forget now. but she what I forget now. But she got a $2 million contract for her Trill trilogy. So you just never know.
You don't.
In, in less than a year, I think it was like a less than 6 month deal where her, I mean, in young adult stories, and she had self published. Mm-hmm. And in less than 6 months, she got a $2 million contract. So,
awesome.
I mean, you just never know. You just never know.
Right.
Be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to push. You really, really have to push.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many different variables, but never give up. Just never give up.
Yeah.
Max, what's been your experience with social networking? Has it helped with your writing?
Has helped. It's given me an opportunity to kind of show little excerpts, and then when I show those, people get interested, and they're like, okay, where can I buy it? So
mm-hmm.
I always try to connect that to my Amazon page, and I also have a YouTube page where I kind of do the book trailers. So I did a book trailer for this one, actually. It's on YouTube. And, so it's actually helped me connect with other authors and readers to see what types of books they read.
Mm-hmm.
That way you know how to reach them. Because
mm-hmm.
somebody may not always want to read the sweet, nice, pretty books. Somebody might want a little grit, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be what's happening. Everybody likes grit. I'm like, nobody wants to smile? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Grit is good. Max, who's your favorite author and why?
That is really hard. Oh, that's a hard one. I have to say, can I say two favorites?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. I love David Baldacci. One of my favorite books from him is First Family. It's a real page turner, and it's exactly what I like. I love mysteries, and I love Lisa Jackson too. I just finished Born to Die, and I love how she writes from the point of view of not only the protagonist, but she'll also write from the point of view, when it's a mystery, from the point of view of the killer. So you kind of have to figure out who it is. And I know this book, I was dead wrong. I was completely wrong. I thought I had it. It always happens. So I like that. It's like a brain teaser. I love
that.
That's
cool.
Yeah, I was so wrong. I'm like, really? I didn't see that coming. Wow. All right.
But that's fun. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's no fun to have it all figured out right from the start.
By like chapter 3, you figure it out.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is up next for you? Any more books planned?
For this is actually the first of a series. I'm working on book number 2.
Oh, good.
It hasn't been titled, but part of the prologue is on writerscafe.org. You just look on my page, and that's where it is. So that's kind of where I get feedback too on Writer's Cafe.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be at least 4 more, I'm thinking.
Wow.
At least 4 more for this series. Because
so
I want to go into...
Leanne and Jonathan have a life to pursue here outside of the initial contact in high school. Can you tell us if they go long into their adult years, or is it...
I'm not even sure. I know all of them have a life to live after this and even before this. Which is, I guess on this next book, I'm going to start going into why they are the way they are, kind of going back into the past. So I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm doing it. I'm making notes as I go. So
It'll come to you. It's like riding a bike. It just, once you start it, you just sit down and you keep doing it, and then
mm-hmm.
it'll just come to you. And let Jonathan and Leanne take you on that ride, let them drive you where they want to go, like you said.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they'll fill in all the blanks.
I'm sure they will. They did this time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could sit down and talk with one famous person, doesn't have to be a writer, whoever it is, who would it be and what would be the first question you would ask them?
Well, this one is a writer. I would love to talk to Quentin Tarantino. I don't know his personality or anything. All I know is the guy's a genius. So I'm just like looking at his films like, how do you do that? Where in your mind does all of this come from?
Robin's gone to dinner with him.
That would be my first Robin thing. I would just love to sit and watch him work. Just sit on the set and just watch him work. You know.
I know that you are involved in a little bit of film, and we didn't really talk about that. We've only got about 10 minutes left here, but what's your experience with film?
I actually wrote a film, a friend and I. She was in film school at the time, about a couple years ago we wrote one. It's pretty much like this, but it's a little, it's actually a short film, it's 20 minutes. And we're working on, we finally got a sound guy, so we're working on getting that actually in some festivals. It's called The In-Between. And wow. I also wrote a full feature movie called Ashes, Ashes. And I'm really in the process of just editing that and making sure it's completely right, because I like to edit, like, a lot, so I just want to make sure it's perfect.
Is it Quentin Tarantino-esque?
No. I'm trying. I want to make it like that.
Because I would totally love that. Like, oh my God, I would love that.
I'm working on it.
Max, do you act at all?
Do I? No.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm behind the scenes. I'd rather do the camera or write the story.
I would do the acting.
Really?
I would break out some thigh-high leather boots. I would put on an Afro wig. I would, you don't know, girl. I would be there. I would be there.
You could do it.
I would do it.
Do it.
I would do
it. You could
it.
Do it, definitely.
I'm an old lady, but I would do it, girl.
Oh, you can certainly do it. I have no doubt. I would love to see you in a film. Like, she's in the Quentin Tarantino film. I knew it. I knew I was going to see her one day.
I would absolutely go bananas. I would love to see her.
Tom, you know me. I'm a nut.
Yeah.
I knew she was going to get in that film. I knew it.
Hey, Max.
I would try.
Max, we got about 7 minutes here left. Any other subjects that you'd like to touch on from your book, or any thoughts about the writing life? And where can we find you on the internet?
Well, as far as the writing life, I learned quite a bit on this ride on this novel here. I really learned how to write in a way that scared me. I mean, like, the Facebook quote, I think somebody posted, it was by Holly Girth, and it was saying basically write in a way that scares you. Writing this book scared me like crazy. I never thought some of the stuff I said would come out like that. But it's
That's
also
good.
A great feeling because
yeah.
it'll definitely, because if I'm shocked, then the readers will be too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the person that wrote it, so
right.
imagine how
That's
much
right.
more shocked they'll be. So.
Good. That's good.
So I'm like, I'm working on that, and I'm taking all of this into account when I'm working on the rest on the other books.
It's interesting when we sit down as writers and we start writing a story,
mm-hmm.
and we get caught up in the actual story itself, like we're watching it from outside, and we're going, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's so exciting when that happens because
it is.
It's almost
you know
like
you're
automatic
doing it right.
writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like automatic writing takes over mm-hmm. and somebody else is doing it for you through your own
mm-hmm.
brain. It's
yeah,
really,
you're like, how did that get done?
Autopilot.
Autopilot, yeah. right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Max, once again, give everybody where they could find you on the internet here.
Okay. I have actually two Twitter pages. Something happened with one. Had to start it over. It's at Max E. Stone, all lowercase, and at Max_E1. Actually, the first one is at Maxie Stone. Sorry. And I can also be reached on Facebook at Maxie Stone.
Okay, cool. And we're going to look forward to your next installment of the series, and please keep in touch with us and like our Facebook page if you would. Get on over there.
I think I have already.
Yeah, you probably have. But, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and it's really neat to talk to a young writer, right, Robin?
Yes, absolutely.
Got a lot of talent behind her, and she's going to be moving forward here in her life and her writing career, and we wish you nothing but success.
Oh, thank you.
We hope that August to Life does really well. Get out there, folks, and buy it. Look for it. You'll find it. It's a great read. We really appreciate Max being on the program today. And with that, we will send you on your way, Max, to sit down.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Great.
All right.
Bye, Max.
Have a good night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, Robin, it's so much fun to talk to a young person like that.
Yeah.
That has the spunk and the drive to actually write a story. I know that when I was 25, there was things in my life that were happening at that point in time where I might have thought about writing, but I never actually sat down to really try to work through it. My mind was everywhere, so I didn't have the patience or the ability at that time in my life to actually do that. So that is good. I wish I could go back in time and do what Max is doing with her life right now, but it's so exciting.
Well, she's a smart girl, and she handled a topic that, you know, it's a touchy subject, and she was able to handle it with tact and come through it without it being something that could, you know, be, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Controversial.
Yeah, and you know what? You've got to have a little controversy in your writing, I think, for people to grasp a hold of it.
But without it blowing up like that other book, Saving the Pearls, that the author really, you know, she's having a little bit of difficulty with that one. That was an embarrassment for her.
Sure.
But she's doing really well, but. Anyway,
getting back to my little situation here, mm-hmm. and not like to talk about it or get into it, but I would just like to say in general that when we're going through a very difficult time in our lives, it's important for you people and you writers out there to continue your writing. And there's a little clip that I'd like to play. It's only like 53 seconds long, and it's from Garrison Keillor about humor writing. And somebody asked him a question in the audience that I found very humorous, and his response is very humorous. So I'd like to play that for you, then we'll come back and we'll say our goodbyes.
Have you ever had a time where you had to write, you know, keep up the humor writing when you were in a time in your life where life really wasn't all that funny, and it was really hard to find the humor?
Oh, it's better then. It's much better. If you're really depressed, you could be much funnier. If you're in a good mood, it's very hard. I mean, and what would be the motivation for writing if you're in a good mood? Why would you want to do it?
I'm not talking so much about mood. I'm talking more about circumstance, like when something really bad is happening.
Things bad happen all the time. When do you get to be my age?
There you go. That last part was really, really kind of funny. Bad things happen all the time when you're my age.
Uh-huh.
Also, you know, we can take that little pearl of wisdom and use it to our benefit. I think that it does add to the allure of writing. So I think with that, Robin, we'll see you next time. In fact, we will be moving on into October when we will be talking to Annie Wilder about Trucker Ghost Stories. So I know you'll be here for that, won't you, Robin?
Yes, I will, because my husband is a trucker. Although he hasn't experienced any ghosts, but
maybe
he has. Who knows? I'll have to ask him.
It'll be fun. So anyway... as we always say here in the Writers Lounge, once again, I want to thank everybody for your support through these times that I'm going through. But as we say, good reading and good writing, and we'll see you next time on the Writers Lounge.
Good night.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart.